You're listening to Zen Crossing, where spirituality meets everyday life, with your host, Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center.
I'd like to welcome my guest, Geeko David Rubin. Geeko lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where he runs the Farm Stand Thank and Trust, growing ginger. Geeko's on this island to teach a retreat at Puget Sound Zen Center, and he and I trained for many years together at Mount Baldy Zen Center. Geeko interpreted for the teacher there, Joshu Sasaki Roshi, and Geeko and I really go way back. I guess we lived at Mount Baldy Zen Center together for 5 or 6 or 7 years, and Geeko is my closest friend. Today, we're going to talk about spiritual friendship. Hey, Geeko.
Hey, Koshin.
I thought I'd start with this story from the Buddha. Once the Buddha's disciple Ananda asked him about friendship. Ananda knew that having good and encouraging friends was important for the path. He even wondered whether having good friends might be half the path. No, Ananda, the Buddha told him. Having good friends isn't half the holy life. Having good friends is the whole of the holy life. So I've been thinking about friendship and spiritual friendship, what it means in our practice of Zen. It seems that our core practice really is solitary. It's not social. It's sitting on a cushion in meditation. It's almost antisocial. Geeko, where do you think friendship fits into that?
I agree that there's a lot in Zen and in Buddhism about being solitary. And there are other ancient Pali texts that talk about that as well. Not to say that there might be contradictions in there, but some texts talk about being like a rhino and keeping to yourself. But when you just quoted the Buddha to Ananda, one thing that came up in my mind is transmission. There's so many different levels of friendship. There's the kind of friendship that you can have towards almost everybody, just giving them your love, giving them your caring, similar to metta. And then perhaps at the other extreme of that is the completely intimate, personal, deep agreement and trust that a teacher has with his student, his or her student. Maybe that is, on the opposite extreme, the most satisfying kind of friendship where you really feel this deep agreement.
Do you think that friendship, that kind of deep agreement with not only your teacher, but with fellow travelers, has helped you on the path, has helped you maybe navigate the path?
Yeah, I think so. And I can think of two instances almost opposite from each other. One was with Joshu Sasaki. As I came out of my first about year of practice, there were times where he encouraged me in a way that maybe nobody else could. Times where I got afraid in practice. And he said, I've been there before, and this is the important thing. You're not going in the wrong direction here. You have to just keep on facing that. So that was very encouraging to me. If he hadn't been there, I might have thought, I didn't think this was Zen practice, having to deal with all this fear. And then later, much later, I think my friendship with you really helped me, because there's an aspect of trust that I think goes along with that word friendship. There's so many different positive qualities in life, but trust is important. And just knowing what trust physically, emotionally feels like is important. And at one point in my practice, when I was navigating some issues, some sort of political issues, having someone that I trusted was incredibly important.
When I was at Mount Baldy, I'd only been there for maybe a year. I was the assistant to the head of the Zendo. I was the Joko. and I was just trying to get to a quiet place, no matter how I got there. And the way I found it best to get there was to really relax, and that meant my posture was pretty curled up. And this guy, who I didn't know, was one of the people who walked around the Zendo, and he came by to me and lifted my posture right up, and I tried it for a little while, and then I sank right back down. And then on the break, this fellow, my senior, pulled me into the second Zendo and said, "You gotta get bigger. You're just shrunk there." This was Giko. "You gotta grow." And so he adjusted my posture and got me to really open up my posture. And I tell people to this day that really changed my life, and it changed my practice. And since then, I have really seen and felt that practice is about getting larger and more open and taking in more, not just shrinking to the quietest place you can find. But I wonder what you think about spiritual work as helping with friendship. Do you think it helps with that?
Yes. I think that both sort of help each other. I think that we can have all sorts of different kinds of friendships. And some of them might be spiritual friendships, you might say. What you share with that person is your interest in some sort of spiritual practice. And some of them can be based on something completely different. You share sports, or you share gardening, or any number of things. But the quality of those friendships is always somehow spiritual to me, or if you are spiritually minded. So you can have a friendship with someone who shares your same spiritual practice, but the quality of it could be competitive or egotistical or any number of not that great things. And you can have a friendship with someone that has nothing to do with spirituality overtly, but somehow the quality of it has all those things that we're practicing towards: selflessness, trust, honesty, non-competitiveness. And so I think it's interesting to reflect on that, both when you're doing your formal practice and when you're not.
So you think we could have spiritual friendships with people who don't share our spiritual path?
Yes. I mean, they might not think of them as spiritual friendships, or they may, but I've always felt that since I started sitting when I was in my teens. Some of the people who seemed, for lack of a better word, accomplished on the path had never done any formal practice, but they were just so obviously had genuine caring for other people.
Mm. Just speaking of yourself then, not speaking for others, or the qualities that you notice in others, what is it when you examine yourself that makes you feel that a friendship is spiritual?
That's a really good question, Koshin.
Thanks a lot, Giko.
Reminds me of something that happened to me recently.
Okay.
I went and brought my son to the doctor, and I had to check him in, and they, of course, asked me, "Well, so what is your relationship to the patient?" And I felt it was my duty to embarrass him because I'm his father. And
naturally,
I said, "I'm his friend sometimes, and sometimes his enemy." But when I try to define friendship, like the essence of friendship, I think comparing it to enemy is useful.
Hmm.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, of course, as all we Buddhists do, we can say, well, everybody is really supporting me, even if they're attacking me, because that's the most challenging thing. And there's no real bad. Good and bad are both our teachers. However, then the real meaning of friendship starts slipping through our fingers. But if someone is really your spiritual friend, I would say, and if I am trying to be somebody's spiritual friend, I am supporting them in some way in their awakening, in their spiritual practice.
As you are doing with your son.
No. That was just...
Does he feel that?
I don't think he feels that.
No, I don't think
I think he feels I'm his friend, but not his spiritual friend.
I see.
And sometimes he definitely feels like I'm his enemy.
Something I'm interested in as the abbot of the Zen Center is encouraging friendships to grow in our Zen community. I think one thing that encourages a depth of friendship is helping each other through difficult times. One thing that the spiritual path is difficult. Certainly the Zen path is, and I think most real spiritual paths have difficulty within them, built into them. How do you think the act of helping is a quality of friendship or encourages friendship? Do you feel the same, that helping through difficult times is part of the definition of spiritual friendship?
Yes, Koshin, I agree with you.
Do tell.
I mean, I think that there is a more practicable, active part of Zen practice than just getting in touch with your senses, for example. And getting in touch with your senses, you might even become more empathic because you might feel other people's pain more. Mm. But that's different than helping. And I think practicing compassionate action in a community is really great practice. And it's two ways, too. If we encourage people overtly that part of being in a community, in a sangha, is helping people in difficult times and going to each other in difficult times and striving to offer no strings attached help, that's good for everybody's practice, because also you have to learn how to receive that help,
that's
which is
true.
Not just a given. There's an art in opening yourself up to being helped as well.
Yeah, agreed. Kiko, thank you so much for helping by coming on this show. I look forward to many years of spiritual friendship with you.
Thank you for inviting me, Koshin. It's always a pleasure to be here on this wonderful island.